Greetings, friends. It is the weekend of Sunday, March the 19th. And while we have officially completed our sermon series on the book of Philemon, we want to add sort of a bit of a postlude, a postscript, an addendum, if you will, this week. Because one of the overarching themes of the book of Philemon is this theme of love and what love looks like, or what love certainly can look like. So there's three things that remain according to Scripture. So now faith, hope, and love abide or remain, these three. But the greatest of these is love. That, of course, is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. You know, love is one of the most commonly used words in the world. It's something that everybody understands. Songs, poems, stories, all have the subject of love has been the topic of writing. It's the core of human existence. But what is love? People flippantly use it to express their attachment to things or to people. For example, loving your friends, loving your car. Oh, I love my new haircut. I love a hot dog. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines love as strong affection for another arising out of kinship or personal ties. And the Oxford Dictionary defines love as an intense feeling of deep affection. However, love in the Bible, in Scripture, is way more than just feelings or emotions. Biblical love is an action based on a choice. It may involve emotions, but acts always follow. Actions always follow. So for further understanding of biblical love and the love that Paul is talking about in the book of Philemon, let's look at the original Hebrew and the Greek words. So love in the Hebrew first. Love first appears in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and offer him there as a burnt offering as one of the on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. And the Hebrew word used for love is ahava. And according to Strong's dictionary, ahava means to have affection, sexually or otherwise, love, like, to befriend, to be intimate. Ahava comes from the root word ahav, which means to give or to love. Strong's dictionary says ahav means to provide and to protect what is given as a privilege and to have an intimacy of action and emotion. Ahav appears 240 times in the Old Testament compared to ahava, which appears 40 times. And both words are translated into love in the English Bibles. Ahava and ahav are used throughout the Old Testament to portray different kinds of love. For example, it's used to express God's love in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 8, brotherly affection in 1 Samuel 18:3, family love in Genesis 25:28, and passionate love in Song of Solomon 1:7. So in conclusion, love in Hebrew means to give. It is a verb and a noun, emotion and action. To love in the Old Testament means giving and providing to others without thinking of the benefits in return. Love in the Greek. There are four Greek words for love: eros, storge, phileo, and agape. Eros, it's a romantic or a sexual love. It delineates physical attraction, sexual desire, physical love. Though the word eros is not in the Bible, eros love is in it. For example, the Song of Solomon is primarily about the passion of eros. Storge is familial love, the kind of love one has for a parent, for a sibling, a child. It's the unique bond that naturally arises between family members. Many people had storge in the Bible, such as Mary, Martha, Lazarus. However, the word storge only appears in a couple of times in compound words only. For example, estorge in Romans chapter 1:31, which means without natural affection, and philiste storgios in Philemon's chapter 12, verse 10, meaning tenderly love. Phileo is brotherly love. It means affectionate friendship, to cherish or regard with affection. Strong's Concordance defines it as to show warm affection an intimate friendship characterized by tender, heartfelt consideration and kinship. Filio is the kind of love that develops between friends, and an excellent illustration of filio in the Bible is that of David and Jonathan. The soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. That's 1 Samuel 18:1. And filio appears about 25 times in the New Testament, such as in John 11, verse 3, John 15, 19, John 21, 15, and Titus 3, 15. And then there's agape. Agape is the love of God or from God. It means goodwill, love, charity, benevolence, esteem. It comes from agapao, which means to love, to wish well, take pleasure in, prefer. And of the four kinds of love, agape is the highest. Agape is the word used in John 15, 13. Greater love, greater agape has no one than this to lay down one's life for his friends. It appears 115 times in the Bible in verses such as Matthew 5, 43, Romans 5, 8, Romans 8, 35, 1 John 3, 16, and of course, 1 Corinthians 13, 13. Agape is an unconditional love that involves choice, self-sacrifice, goodwill. So let's put this all together. Biblical love is sacrificial love. It is choosing to do good to others, seeking their well-being, and putting them before oneself. To love biblically means to serve others and to give without expecting anything at all in return. John 3:16, arguably the most famous verse in all of Scripture, is this perfect picture of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God's love moved him to choose to sacrifice his Son by giving him up to us, the world, without expecting anything in return from us. See, for the believer to love is to choose God and to obey him. It is giving up ourselves for others, regardless of the cost. So why love is the greatest? The three greatest Christian virtues, faith, hope, and love. However, love is higher than the others, and it isn't because there are four kinds. Some reasons why are as follows. Without love, faith and hope are worthless. Without love, there is no real faith, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:2. And if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have no love, I'm nothing. Not only is faith meaningless without love, but it expresses itself through love, Galatians 5, 6. Likewise, there's no genuine hope without love. Hope means confidently wait for something, and we can't hope for something that we do not love. Love is eternal, secondly. Love will last longer than faith and hope. When Jesus returns, our faith will become sight, and our hope will be fulfilled. However, our love will not cease, but will continue eternally and perfectly. So, in other words, the other two will end, but love is eternal. Thirdly, love benefits others. Faith and hope are intrinsic qualities for our benefits, for my benefit, while love is an external trait for others to experience and enjoy. And giving is always higher than receiving. As John Calvin said, love is the greatest because faith and hope are our own. Love is diffused among others. Fourthly, God is love. Lastly, love is the greatest because it is the very essence of God's nature. John 4, 8 says that God is love. Everything that God does is out of his great love. And we are most like God when we love like him, not when we have faith in him or hope in him. As Mike Mazzanola says in an article, faith believes what God says, hope expects what God promises, but love does what God does. The biblical attributes of love. The Bible is often referred to as a love letter from God and says a lot about his love. 1 Corinthians 13, also known as the love chapter of the Bible, and 1 John have the most information on love. And some of its essential attributes are as followed. First of all, love is from God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because, you see, God is love, 1 John 4, 7-8. Secondly, love is perfect. Love is patient and kind. It does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Thirdly, love covers every sin and fulfills the law. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4, 8. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Romans 13, 10. Nothing that we do matters if it isn't done in love. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries, all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. The most important commandment is to love. Jesus answered, "The most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these." Mark 12, 29 through 31. Loving others show that we are Christians, that we follow Jesus. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. John 13, 35. We are to love with our actions. 1 John 3, 17, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." Love eclipses fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Love is the most crucial gift in our lives. We are commanded to do everything in love. In 1 Corinthians 16, 14, "And to show love to others. And people will see Christ by our love. And God's love will ultimately draw out the unsaved." Think about Philemon and Onesimus. Let's go back to them for a minute. Think about what was communicated by the act of Philemon choosing to love his brother now in Christ, Onesimus, and accept him back. What ripple effects did that have throughout Colossae? What did that cause to happen as people noticed and watched? People will see Jesus by our love, and God's love will ultimately draw out the unsaved. Amen. And God bless.